Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Ashtatara Sattva Shishimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Ashtatara Sattva Shishimad Bhakti Santa Saraswati Ki. Ananti Koti Vaishnavandi Ki. All glories assemble devotees. All glories assemble devotees. All glories assemble devotees. So today we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita, the Song of God, and we're reading verse 6, and yeah, there it is, okay. Paritranaya sadhunam vinishaya shaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Paritranaya, for the deliverance. Sadhunam, of the devotees. Vinashaya, for the annihilation. Cha, also. Duskritam, of the miscreants. Dharma, principles of religion. Samstapanartaya, to reestablish. Sambhavami, I do appear. Yuge, millennium. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. In order to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Angana Tamarantas Chagana Gana Shavakaya Chakshuran Militamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I'll read the purport. Won't read the whole thing, but part of it. According to Bhagavad Gita, a sadhu, holy man, is a man in Krishna consciousness. A person may appear to be irreligious, but if he has the qualifications of Krishna consciousness wholly and fully, he is to be understood to be a sadhu. And duskritam applies to one who doesn't care for Krishna consciousness. Such miscreants or duskritam are described as foolish and the lowest of mankind, even though they may be decorated with mundane education. Whereas another person who is 100% engaged in Krishna consciousness is accepted as sadhu, even though such a person may neither be learned nor well-cultured. As far as the atheists are concerned, it is not necessary for the Supreme Lord to appear as he is to destroy them, as he did with the demons Ravana and Kamsa. The Lord has many agents who are quite competent to vanquish demons, but the Lord especially descends to appease his unalloyed devotees, who are always harassed by the demonic. The demon harasses the devotee, even though the latter may happen to be his kin. Although Prahlad Maharaj was a son of Hiranyakashipu, he was nonetheless persecuted by his father. Although Devaki, the mother of Krishna, was a sister of Kamsa, she and her husband Vasudeva were persecuted only because Krishna was to be born of them. So Lord Krishna appeared primarily to deliver Devaki rather than kill Kamsa, but both were performed simultaneously. Therefore, it is said here that to deliver the devotee and vanquish the demon miscreants, the Lord appears in different incarnations. So today is a special day because it's the appearance day of Lord Varaha, a very significant incarnation of Krishna. And there's a whole story as to how this happened, but I'll just bring you to the kind of the crux of the matter, where the Earth planet had fallen into the Garbhodak ocean. And Prabhupada describes that, you know, the Earth planet and other planets, they're in space, But they're actually, they call it gravity, but it's actually the mystic power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that keeps that planet afloat. So Lord Brahma, who is the very first human, and he was in charge of the creation. So he was meditating on the creation, and all of a sudden, he saw that the Earth planet had fallen into the Garbhodak Ocean. So he was like, oh my gosh, you know, like, what's happening? How did this happen? So he started to pray, just like, you know, there's different ways that we deal with problems, right? We may go to a friend, we may go to someone and say, oh, can you give me some advice, you know? So there's that kind of advice from without, and there's kind of advice from within. Sometimes we just pray to the Lord, you know, please help me in this situation. Please tell me, you know, what I can do. So Lord Brahma was praying like that, and suddenly he sneezed, and out came a little creature, a boar, that was no bigger than the size of the tip of his thumb. I mean, just imagine. And he was just like bewildered. But not just that, he started to grow, like grow and grow and grow and grow till it was the size of an elephant. My grandma was like, how could this be happening? How could this happen? And then he thought, oh, it's got to be the Supreme Person of Godhead. Anything that's this wonderful and this magical. And there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita that goes, all glorious, mighty creation spring but from a spark of Krishna's splendor. Tata vibhutimat sattvam srimad urjitam evava. There was this wonderful creation. And so Lord Brahma, when he realized that, Lord Varaha, he started to roar. It said the roar just went all over the whole universe, just like the same roar that Lord Nrisimhadev, the same potency, that roar. And then all the Lord Brahma and everyone on the upper planetary systems, they could recognize it as being a very auspicious sound. So they started offering prayers to Lord Varaha. So then Lord Varaha, he went to rescue the Earth, and it was a perfect form for rescuing the Earth. Because he had tusks, he just went and picked it up, and he was ready to deal with it. But in the meantime, Hiranyaksha, the first demon, he had been looking for a fight. You know the kind of people, they're just looking for a fight. So he was looking for a fight. He even went into the ocean to find Varuna, because Varuna was famous for being a great champion fighter. So he found him, and he was like, okay, I'm ready. You want to fight? And Varuna said, no, I don't want to fight. He said, I'm too old. I can't do it anymore. But if you really want to fight, then go to find Lord Vishnu. He'll completely destroy you. So the Lord Ra was kind of, ha, 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 yeah, right. And I mean, you know, Hiranyaksha was like, ha, 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 that's funny. So he went looking, and he saw Lord Varaha with the planet Earth, and he screams, amphibious beast, you know? And Lord Varaha is like, okay, he's got the Earth planet, so he kind of thinks, I better set her down. So he sets her down, and it says that he transferred his power into the Earth planet to keep it afloat. And then he turns, and there is Hiranyaksha. I'm just going to read a little bit about the battle, because it's just too good to not read. Okay, so it says, let's see if I can find the right part here. Okay, it says, while his enemy looked on, the Lord in his boar form, the enjoyer of all sacrificial offerings, playfully knocked down the mace with his left foot, even as it came upon him with the force of a tempest. So they'd already started fighting. But when the mace comes to the Lord, he just kind of like kicks it with his left foot. The Lord said, take up your weapon and try it again, eager as you are to conquer me. Challenged in these words, the demon aimed his mace at the Lord and once more loudly roared. When the Lord saw the mace flying towards him, he stood firmly where he was and caught it with the same ease as Garuda, the king of birds, would seize a serpent. His valor frustrated, the great demon felt humiliated and was just out of countenance. He was reluctant to take back the mace when it was offered by God. He now took a trident, which is as rapacious as a flaming fire, and hurled it against the Lord, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, even as one would use penance for a malevolent purpose against a holy Brahmana. Hurled by the mighty demon with all the strength, the flying trident shone brightly in the sky. The person of Godhead, however, tore it to pieces with his disc, which had a sharp-edged rim. The demon was enraged when his trident was cut to pieces by the discus. He therefore advanced toward the Lord and, roaring, struck his hard fist against the Lord's broad chest, which bore the mark of Srivats. Then he went out of sight. Hit in this manner by the demon, the Lord, who had appeared as the first boar, did not feel the least quaking in any part of his body, any more than an elephant would when struck with a wreath of flowers. The demon, however, employed many conjuring tricks against him, who is the Lord of Yogamaya. At the sight of this, the people were filled with alarm and thought the dissolution of the universe was near. So, like Lord Brahma and the other demigods, they were going, no, don't play with them. Just get rid of them. Please do it right away, because it's getting dark, and when it gets dark, then the strength of the demonic personality, it gets stronger. Just like we know at night, you know, you're kind of afraid to go to certain places because you don't know who's going to be out there. You know, it's a little scary. So that's what was happening there. Fierce winds began to blow from all directions, spreading darkness occasioned by dust and hailstorms. Stones came in volleys from every corner as if thrown by machine guns. The luminaries in outer space disappeared due to the skies being overcast, accompanied by lightning and thunder. The sky rained pus, hair, blood, stool, urine, and bones. Mountains discharged weapons of various kinds, and naked demons armed with tridents appeared with their hair hanging loose. Cruel and savage slogans were uttered by hosts of ruffians, yakshas, and rakshasas, who all either marched on foot or rode on horses or elephants. The Lord, the personal enjoyer of all sacrifices, now discharged his disc, which was capable of dispersing the magical force displayed by the demon. When the demon saw his forces dispelled, he once again came into the presence of the Lord and, full of rage, tried to embrace him within his arms to crush him. But to his great amazement, he found the Lord standing outside the circle of his arms. The demon now began to strike the Lord with his hard fist, but Lord Adhoksaja slapped him in the root of the ear, even as Indra, the Lord of the Maruts, hit the demon Vritta. Though struck indifferently by the Lord, the conqueror of all, the demon's body began to wheel, his eyeballs bulged out of their sockets, his arms and legs broken, and the hair on his head scattered. He fell down dead like a gigantic tree uprooted by the wind. So that was the end of Hiranyaksha. So never fear, though. When the Lord does something, it's auspicious for everyone. Even like actually after he's killed, Lord Brahma says, oh, such a blessed death. So someone who is, you know, liberated by the Lord, or someone who is killed by the Lord, it still has that all auspicious result. So, you know, this verse is talking about, so the Lord comes from time to time. And he comes to, number one, anybody remember? One thing he comes for is to? Okay, right, he delivers the pious, and he annihilates the demons, and he establishes the principles of religion. There's another verse, yada yada. You may know it. You can say it with me. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhutanam adharmasya tadatmanam rajamiham. So whenever and wherever there's a decline in religious practice and a rise in irreligion, the Lord says, at that time I descend myself. So Lord Varaha, that's one incarnation, and I thought we could just go through some other very interesting incarnations. Actually, there's 8 million, the scriptures say there's 8,400,000 species of life. And the Lord incarnates in every species. So it's hard to imagine. We're going to pick out some of the more prominent ones here. But I did read that in the Vishnu Purana, it described one of the incarnations where Krishna incarnated as a mosquito. And that the demigods surrounded him. They took forms as bees, and they just buzzed around him. And the whole experience only took like 5 minutes, not very long. So not every incarnation is super detailed and long, but they're all very beautiful and very auspicious. So another beautiful incarnation, in this situation, Lord Indra was riding on an elephant, and Durvasa Muni, a great sage who performed lots of austerities, he was, you know, sages can be very touchy sometimes. He's kind of like Ashutosh, which means very, very easily pleased and then very easily unpleased. So he saw Lord Indra. He thought, I'm going to give him my garland. He took off his garland and he gave it to Indra. And Indra thoughtlessly put it on the elephant. And the elephant thoughtlessly just threw it on the ground and trampled on it. So Durvasa, he didn't like that. He got really mad. And he cursed him. He cursed Indra and he cursed all the demigods along with it in one fell swoop. And it had almost immediate effect where the demigods started to feel weaker, you know, and the demons became stronger. So there's always this kind of play between the demons and the demigods. Even Prabhupada was telling one story, I thought it was an interesting story, where in Bombay, when they were trying to build the temple, you know, and purchase the land for Bombay, there was so much opposition, you know, that people were saying, oh, you know, these Americans, they're this and they're that, and they're FBI, and, you know, they had all kinds of reasons that they get rid of them. So they had the police come out. So the police came out to, like, tour the facility, look everywhere. And one of the policemen said, it was Tamal Krishnamurti, she said, do you know why we're here? And he goes, well, I guess because we're Westerners. And the policeman said, no, because it was just that you were Westerners, we could go to the Holiday Inn. And we're not at the Holiday Inn. And he's like, okay, well, why? He goes, we're here because you follow the four regular principles. You don't eat meat, you don't drink, you don't gamble, and you don't have sex outside of marriage. And that is a challenge for people. They don't want to hear it. And so that's why we're here. People don't like to hear that. They don't want to hear that. They have their own idea of enjoyment. So this kind of, you know, demons and devotees, and it just goes on. So here we are with, you know, the demons feeling weaker, and the demigods feeling weaker, the demons feeling stronger. So the demigods, again, they go to the Lord because they want to know what they should do. So they go to the Lord, and they explain the situation, and he says, you know, because the demons are so strong, and you're getting weaker, you're going to have to work together. What you need to do is you need to go and churn the ocean of milk. You know, like there's many different kinds of oceans, and one of them is the ocean of milk. So you should go there and churn it, and from that ocean, you'll get some very poisonous substances, and you'll get some real nectar, you'll get some amrit from it. So they all went to the ocean of milk, and they needed a pivot, so they brought Mandara Mountain to sit in the ocean, and they got the big snake Vasuki to use to pull, to churn, and the demons were on one side and the devotees on the other side, and they began to churn. But because the ocean was so heavy, I mean, the mountain was so heavy, it fell to the bottom of the ocean. They were just like, oh my gosh, now what? Now what are we going to do? But of course, the Lord, he had a great idea. He took the form of a tortoise, and he went underneath the mountain and brought it up, and that way they were able to continue with their churning. So it did produce a poisonous substance called halahala, and luckily Lord Shiva, with all his mercy, he drank it because it was so poisonous that you had to get rid of it or it could just destroy everything. And he became famous becoming the blue-throated one because he did drink this poison. And then also they kept churning, and a very amrit came. They got an auspicious substance out of it. And everyone wanted the substance because if you drank some of this, you became immortal. So just think, there's a lot there. So the demons, even though the idea was that everyone's working together, everyone's going to get their fair share, Do you think that the demons were actually thinking like that? No, they were not, you know. And Prabhupada makes the point that, you know, devotees, they're very concerned not with just their welfare. They're concerned with the welfare of the entire world, you know. So at that point, the demons, they were ready to grab the nectar. That was their plan. They were going to grab the nectar and take it for themselves. But because the Lord knew that was their plan, then he took the form of Mohini Murti, another famous incarnation, where she was so beautiful, Mohini Murti, that the demons could not stop looking at her. They were completely mesmerized, completely enchanted, and they just would do whatever Mohini Murti said. So Mohini Murti, the Lord, she pretty much didn't give any to the demons, although the planet Rahu got a little bit, and distributed it to the demigods. So again, here we have the idea of the Lord taking a form, descending as an avatar, in order to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants. So another wonderful story, Lord Buddha, we're all familiar with Lord Buddha. And of course, when Lord Buddha came, the Vedas were actually being misinterpreted, misused. And because of that, there was like rampant meat eating, which causes a lot of, you know, a lot of violence, a lot of distress. And so Lord Buddha came and he said they were going to, his idea was to disregard the Vedas. And he taught his own idea of ahimsa. So even though he believed in the Vedas, at this point in time, he took the form of Lord Buddha just to get people back on the right track. So sometimes the Lord does that also. And at the end of this age, or the age of Kali Yuga, and it lasts like 432,000 years, and we're only into it kind of in the beginning, believe it or not. And it explains, during this age, people are, they're misguided, they're unlucky, they're misinformed, they don't know what to do and what not to do, they really don't. And so it's a very unfortunate situation. And by the end of Kali Yuga, it's explained in the Bhagavatam that there's very little greenery left and people are very reduced in stature and, very immoral. You know, there's not many moral principles that are being followed, and everyone's kind of into it for themselves. It even says that devotees, you know, like saintly, when I say devotee, I mean saintly people, theistic people, that they would be hunted like deer for a sport. So at the end of this age, when that's all happening, Lord Kalki, more powerful than Spider-Man, more powerful than Superman, comes riding on his white horse, super, you know, dazzling and handsome, and he just takes care of everybody that needs to, like, try again. You know, again, when you're killed by the Lord, it's also a benediction, you know? And then all the devotees, and that's right at the border, end of Kali Yuga, and then Satya Yuga. So he takes care of the demoniac, and then Satya Yuga ushers in, and Satya Yuga is an amazing age full of goodness, you know, full of transcendental goodness, where people are naturally good-hearted. Because there's four ages, Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. So they all kind of starts out with Satya Yuga and kind of becomes reduced in morality and goodness, you know. So, and the very one of the incarnations, that the most recent incarnation is Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the amazing thing about this incarnation is he delivers the pious, but guess what? He doesn't annihilate the miscreants. He also delivers the miscreants. So Lord Chaitanya is so incredible, and his deity form is right here in the altar, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And we're celebrating Lord Nityananda's appearance day tomorrow. So please come if you're able. It'll be pretty much the same schedule as far as the kirtan goes, but there'll be probably like 1,000 people here because everybody wants the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, you know? Everybody wants that kind of mercy. And Lord Chaitanya, you know, he delivered the Hare Krishna mantra as being the four. He says it's Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama Eva Kevalam, Kaluana Steva, Nastevana Steva, Gatyanyata, that just chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. It's such a quick, uplifting yoga. You know, there's so many kinds of yoga, and they all have so much importance. You know, Hatha Yoga and Dhyana Yoga and Sankhya Yoga, they're all important, but they all culminate in that idea of Bhakti Yoga, that yoga of love and devotion. And as you can see, just like the children, they're all engaged in Bhakti Yoga. They each made a little star and mobiles to celebrate. And on the altar, like all the clothing and the garlands and the cookies and everything, the devotees have used their devotion to make it. So that's what Lord Chaitanya brought, and that's what Srila Prabhupada brought. Srila Prabhupada, in his very short time here on this planet, in the West, you know, and even on the planet, you know, he did so much in such a short amount of time, traveled around the world, 11 times, was it? And opened like 108 temples all over the world, and set up these temples because one of the most important things for saintly people is to associate with other saintly people. So he introduced this feast, this Sunday love feast. So any temple you go to all over the world, they'll always have this Sunday feast program and class in the morning. So it's kind of like you've got a big family, you know, wherever you go. So what I wanted to do, because time is running out, does anybody have a question, a comment, an addition, or a subtraction they would like to share? Don't be shy. Anybody? Okay. Nobody has. All right. So oh, you're here. Okay, good. We're going to sing this song, Das Avatar Stotra, and we're going to sing it together. So if you don't know it, just do the best you can. But it's in glorification of all of these incarnations, of Lord Matsya, Lord Kurma, Lord Varaha, Lord Vamana, Lord Nisringadev, Lord Parashuram, Lord Ram, Lord Balaram, Lord Buddha, and Lord Kalki. So I thought it would be appropriate, you know, to just end with that beautiful, beautiful song. Okay, and Chaitanya Dasi, she's going to play the harmonium. If anybody wants to play the kartals, where are they? Okay. Oh, here they are, if somebody knows it. Oh, you've got some. Okay, that's fine. All right. Get my glasses on. Okay. Okay, here we go. All right. Ready? Okay. Pralaya, you can sing, we'll sing all together. Pralaya payoiri chale tritavan asti vedam vita hitra charitram akheram keshva trita mina sharira jajadishare Chaya Hare Chaya Hare Shittiriha Vipulatare Dharani Dharanakina Chakra Garishte Keshavadrita kurma sharita chajagadisha hare chajagadisha hare chajagadisha hare Vasati Dashana Sikare Dani Tavalakya Shashini Kalanka Kalevani Magna Keshavadrita Sukara Rupa Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Tavakara Kamala Varenakam Adbhuta Shringam Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanubringam Keshavadrita Nanahari Rupa Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Chalayasi Vikramanebalam Adbhutavamana Paranaka Nirajanita Janapavana Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Kshatriya Rudhiramaye Jagat Abhata Papa Snapayasi Payasi Samita Bhavatapam Keshavadrita Narita Sarupa Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Vitarasi Dikshurane Dikpati Kamaniyam Dashamukamali Balim Ramaniyam Keshavadrita Rama Sharira Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Vahasiva Pusi Vishare Vasanam Chaladabam Halahati Bitti Militayumanabam Keshavadrita Haladarupa Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Nindasi Yagna Vitir Ahaha Shruti Jatam Sadaya Ridaya Darshita Pashugatam Keshavadrita Buddha Shirara Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Mlachanivaha Nidhane Kalayasi Karavalam Dumaketam Iva Kimapi Karalam Keshavadrita Kokisharera Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Shri Chaya Deva Kave Idam Udita Udaram Srinasukadam Shubhadam Pavasharam Keshavadrita Dashavidharupa Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Chajagadisha Hare Karibo, all glories to the Lord's incarnation and to all his lovely devotees. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Is there? Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a wonderful class.
Thank you.
Lord Varaha, this is one of my favorite pastimes. Sometimes I think it gets overlooked a little bit, but
yeah. It's
the prequel to the Nisrimadev saga. You know it's so important. But I was just wondering, I actually didn't realize he had come from Lord Brahma.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking, you know, Lord Brahma came from Lord Vishnu.
We could always go back there, right? So, the origin of everything, right?
Yeah, so it's like they kind of continue to originate from each other. So how you know, is Lord Vishnu able to, I guess, appear out of one of his own creations if he's original?
He's able to, yeah. That's one of his potencies. And, you know, another reason for the Lord coming, you know, to the earth is just to display his pastimes. Because I was thinking that, you know, when you meet someone and you start to learn about them, you want to know, well, what do they do? And, you know, what do they like to do? And so it's amazing that Lord Krishna has so many pastimes, you know, Lord Varaha, Lord Nisringadev, so many. And, you know, he's so omnipotent, Lord Krishna, that he wants his devotees to remember his pastimes and to be kind of caught up in him. When he comes, he often brings his entourage, you know, with him, his saintly devotees with him, just to, you know, enliven everybody. So, you know, I remember as a child, and, you know, I was brought up Catholic, which, you know, I appreciate. And, you know, I learned so much about God, but I used to think, what do they do in heaven? You know, like, I thought, here I am. I've got my, you know, my sisters and my brother and, you know, I've got my friends and my parents and I've got school. But what do they do in heaven? Do they, because I associated with church. I thought, if it's like church, I'm just not going to be able to do that eternally, you know? That just isn't going to work for me. So to learn about, you know, what Krishna does, you know, his pastimes was like, just like so exciting, of course. And the thing is, when Lord Krishna in the spiritual world, it's not like everybody looks at him and says, oh, there's God, right? It's not like that. He's just one of the cowherd boys. And they just play eternally. So how beautiful is that? We all like to play, you know? So the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, they have so many pastimes in the spiritual world. But sometimes the Lord comes down just to enliven the devotees and then help the miscreants get back on track. Can we say, you know, destroy the demons? It's like, it's really liberating them, you know, because whatever Krishna does, it's all auspicious. So thank you for your question. Yes.
And that brought me to one other question is, so once the miscreants kind of get to that lowest level, you know, of existence, consciousness,
yeah,
to where the Lord has to basically come and hit the reset button on everything, those souls, are they just kind of like the ones that got stuck here on earth and just kind of keep reincarnating because they're like materialistically driven and
yeah,
they never really get out of that?
Yeah,
mindset
as long
or
as
something.
Like as long as you have that desire, like, you know, gosh, if only I could be famous, if only I could be more beautiful, if only I could have more money, then I'd be happy. So, okay, so in next life, maybe born as Jeff Bezos, or, you know what I mean? There's so many options, but, you know, a devotee, one beautiful thing about a devotee, about a Brahmin devotee, it says they're satisfied with whatever Krishna gives them. So that's such an opulence, because sometimes people have like billions of dollars and they're still trying to get more money or more power, you know, more something, because they're still, that hole, right? That hole has not been filled up. So yeah, you know, when they say liberated, they're given a chance. But the beautiful thing about this age, especially this next 10,000 years, which is about 9,500 left, because Lord Chaitanya is so merciful, just by hearing the chanting, right? I was reading the nine stages of devotional service, and the beginning stage is Shraddha, which means having a little bit of faith. So even if somebody hears a holy name and thinks, oh, that's kind of nice, that's the beginning. Lord Chaitanya, he counts that. He sees, oh, look, you know, they like it. You know, in another opportunity, so the devotees are always busily giving out prasadam, you know, and chanting. Like, I don't know if any of you saw the video of the pirate festival, you know, in Tampa. It went on for like 2 hours. The devotees just with Lord Jagannath cart, right? Just chanting and singing. Did you go to that? No. Anyway, if you look at the video, you went. Did you go? Oh, you went. A whole Krishna house. Yeah. When you look at it, like, they're all the devotees are in total bliss, right? And all the bystanders are also in total bliss. They're like screaming, they're jumping, they're chanting, they're, you know, the devotees are like high-fiving them all the way down. I think it was about 2 hours. Like, I don't think I could have done it, which is probably why they didn't invite me. You know, they invite the younger people to go because, you know, it's strenuous to do that. But that's why this age is so special, this golden age of Lord Chaitanya, because he's just giving out the mercy freely. And what to speak of Lord Nityananda, like, you have to come tomorrow, because Lord Nityananda, he just really gives it out. Everyone knows the story when, you know, Jagai and Madhai, and one of them threw a pot at Lord Nityananda's head and was bleeding, and Lord Chaitanya got it to Sudarshan and was like, what? You hit Lord Nityananda, that's it. And he was ready to throw it and cut his head off. But Lord Nityananda said, no, don't. Because if you kill him, you're going to have to kill practically everybody in this age. And so when the people who perpetrated the crime realized that they were being saved by Lord Nityananda, they'd immediately paid obeisances and became devotees themselves. So that's our mission, right, as devotees. That's our duty, you know, it's just to try to, you know, you never know who you're going to meet. Like, I met one girl at the Sunday feast one time, and I said, well, how'd you happen to come? She said, well, I work in a bar, and, you know, I found this book on, it was Perfection of Yoga. So I found this book on one of the tables, and I looked around, and I thought, nobody in here is going to read this book. So I took it and read it. And I came, you know, and she became a devotee. So there's so many different ways. But, you know, sometimes you just see someone and they seem nice and you just give them a book. Say, hey, I've got this book, Perfection of Yoga. I'd like to give it to you. And they go, oh, wow, thank you. Thanks a lot. Because Srila Prabhupada said if they read, you know, one paragraph, if they read one sentence, if they read one word, if they touch the book, if they hear, then their life is changed. So how more wonderful could it be, right? How more wonderful could it be? Anyway, thank you so much. Hare Krishna.